Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast. Steve Caldwell here. Let's start by recognizing someone who's doing something good.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good. I got you.
Cindy and I have a couple of cats. And we love our cats and we try to give them the right food. But one of the problems we have is that oftentimes the cans of food that we want are not in stock at the local store when we go to get it. So, you know, as time would have it, I was tired of wasting my time looking for stuff that wasn't there. And I thought, gee, I'll bet Amazon sells that. I looked it up, and sure enough, Amazon sells that particular cat food, and they sell it by the case. Problem solved. All I have to do now, go into Amazon, order the food, and it's delivered right to my door. Wow. Love the time saving. Love the convenience. Thanks, Amazon. Hello and welcome everyone to the Manager Mojo podcast. Steve Caldwell here, and I'm going to begin today by asking you a question, and it really just ask you, have you ever thought to yourself, look, I'm just too overworked, I'm unfocused, and I'm too busy to stop myself? Well, if you've had those thoughts, you're going to love our guest today. I have the privilege of introducing to you the co-author of a new book called 1 Second Ahead, Enhance Your Performance and Work with Mindfulness. And the co-author's name is Jacqueline Carter. And Jacqueline has over 20 years of consulting and management experience, helping organizations manage change and achieve results. Now, I know she's passionate about helping individuals and organizations realize their potential. She demonstrates that because she's a partner of the Potential Project International and director of the Potential Project of North America. She's got many high-profile clients. She's an author and contributor on the Huffington Post, has been on numerous talk shows, and I know we're going to really learn from her wisdom today. So, Jacqueline Carter, welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure, and I'm really excited about this book because I think that it targets an area that really is being overlooked in leadership today. I think people just don't understand that there's a way forward and a way out, and I'm looking forward to diving in that. But before we jump into your book and your thoughts, tell us what fun things you've been up to lately.
Well, I think for me, I have to say I'm one of those people that I find great fun in actually my work, and so I think I'm very privileged to be able to say that. So for me, what's been really fun is I'm very fortunate that I get to travel around. As you said, I'm very privileged to be able to work with many clients around the globe. Mm-hmm. And so literally, I was in Salt Lake City last week meeting with 70 leaders, talking to them about getting 1 second ahead. And the week before that, I was in London, England. And before that, I was in Stowe, Vermont. And I think for me, it's fun and exciting. Mindfulness is hopefully maybe we'll get into when we talk about it. It's very ancient tools, and it's really amazing to be able to bring those ancient tools and techniques into modern-day work practices where, as you said, we really need them.
We absolutely need them, and I think it's wonderful that you enjoy not only your work but the experience of traveling. My wife Cindy and I travel together all the time, and we travel to different business engagements, and you know, it's just so much fun when you can enjoy the experience as well as you go. So let's dive in a little bit about 1 second ahead, and why don't you share with us what was the problem that you guys actually saw, and you said, you know what, we need to contribute to the world some answers. So tell us what you guys were thinking and what was your overall purpose for this book.
Well, essentially, yeah. Essentially, the purpose of the book is really to be of service. That's essentially what we want to do. Many of us in the Potential Project, so we have over 120 trainers around the globe in over 20 countries, and all of us have longstanding practices in mindfulness, and also all of us have corporate experience. And what we were noticing in organizations, and we've been, the Potential Project has been around now for over 10 years, what we've been noticing is increasingly going into different organizations, and it really doesn't matter where you go around the globe, we see four common characteristics. And the first one is an increasing amount of pressure. The second one is people are always on. The third thing is that there just seems to be this information overload. And the fourth thing is just this plethora of distractions that everybody's trying to deal with. And we actually call it the paid reality. So pressure, always on, information overload, and distracted. And what happens when people are experiencing the paid reality is they don't perform at their best. They're not as creative. And quite honestly, they're not as kind to each other. And we just found so many challenges that were created in workplaces today. And essentially, the tools and techniques of mindfulness really are antidotes to help people in that paid reality be more effective, be more clear-minded, be more calm, and quite honestly, have more fun, which I know is a passion for you, Steve, and be a little bit nicer to each other. And so essentially, that's what the book is about, is really helping people be more focused, more kind, more calm, more clear-minded, because if you know what, when we perform better at work, it's good for the organization, it's good for the individual too, because then we can go home and do those great things and be more present with our family as well. So that's the essence of why we created the book.
Well, it's a great essence and a great goal, and I know that people are just too busy. I get it. I see it all the time. And but as I'm listening to you now, I know that there are many business leaders that honestly they don't have any idea of what mindfulness means. And so, if you don't mind, would you tell us what does mindfulness mean? How would you define it and describe it?
Yeah, essentially, mindfulness is a series of tools and techniques to train the mind to be intentional about how you place your attention, basically. So it's really, in essence, it's about learning to manage your attention. So if you look at the mind is like a muscle, and it's really, mindfulness is like going to the mental gym, just like you would want to go to a physical gym to be able to have, to be fit, to be able to be strong. Mindfulness is really about going to the mental gym. And what you do in that mental gym is you enhance your focus, you enhance your awareness, and you also develop a greater sense of calm and well-being. And what they found is, and this is all from, it's been documented in many places from a scientific perspective, is by doing these what seem to be very simple, although oftentimes very challenging, simple practices, is that it enables us to have all other kind of secondary benefits. So not only do we become more effective at our work or at our home life, but we also sleep better. We also are able to enhance our creativity. We're also able to improve our memory. That helps us be more effective at everything we want to do.
Very, very cool. I can't help but listen to this and think about the four things that you guys were looking at, you know, pressure and always on, information overload and distractions. And, you know, focus has always been one of those things that I personally have had to work on, because I've always had too many irons in the fire. And I had to learn how to focus, and I kind of looked at distractions as shiny objects. You know, I got so many shiny objects in front of me that, ooh, that looks cool. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to be talking to Jacqueline here. You know, so I mean, I have to be very careful that I'm present where I am. And to really be listening. But I know many executives say, well, Steve, you know, that sounds good and all, but you know, I don't go to the gym to work out as much as I need to. How am I going to work on the brain? Because that seems to be my enemy. So why don't you help people understand that this is possible? It's not something that's impossible.
Well, absolutely. And the way that we look at that is, instead of making mindfulness yet another one of those things that you need to do, mm-hmm. make it part of everything you do. So right now, in this moment, like you said, you have many shiny objects. We call that shiny object syndrome, SOS, where your mind wants to
I call that something else, those SOS.
Okay. But that shiny object syndrome, it happens to all of us because of all the distractions that are in our environment. And so right now, if every time you're distracted, you are intentional about saying, no, I'm going to come back, I'm going to focus on Jacqueline, you're being mindful. That's essentially what it is. You are using, you're exercising your attentional muscle and choosing where you want to place your attention. And so that is really what is the essence of the book, is it's not just going to the mental gym, but it's also, let's make sure when we're in a meeting, when we're doing our emails, when we're doing our planning, when we're doing our goal setting, when we're doing everything that we have to do anyway, how can we actually apply the essence of mindfulness to those day-to-day activities so that we are actually training the brain while we're doing all of those things that we have to do anyway?
Yeah, that's a beautiful way of looking at it. And obviously, I was using myself as an example just to show people, hey, you know, any of us can get distracted. But we can come back to the moment if we choose to. Let's give people a few more tangible examples of things that they do that show they're not being mindful. The first thing that came to my mind, Jacqueline, is like you'll be talking, a manager or leader will be talking to an employee or a person. They're trying to have a one-on-one with them, and they didn't mute their phone. And they get all distracted, and what do? They answer the darn phone. Well, tell us how that really kind of begins to scramble up your brain.
Right, exactly. And that's essentially exactly what it is. What they've shown is, from a scientific perspective, every time that we get distracted, it takes us seconds to come back to whatever it is that we were doing. And if whatever it is we were doing is actually quite complicated, it can take us even more time to get reoriented, to be able to remember and process exactly what we need to be able to do. So those distractions, and they're all around us. We can't get rid of the distractions in our environments. And a lot of those distractions are good. You know, that phone call that you got, it could have been a very important client that you were waiting to hear from.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea being is to be mindful of those distractions, and are they helping you, or actually are they hindering your performance? Because if every time you get distracted, you're taking seconds away from your productivity because you have to reorient, to refocus, to figure out what it is that you were saying or what it is that you were supposed to be doing, well, then you're using up, you're wasting your time. And I don't think anyone in today's day and age has time to waste. And
amen.
So essentially, that's exactly it. And so that's what we really see, is that by being much more intentional about not allowing themselves to be distracted, being able to be more focused, they can use their time more effectively. So actually, that's where you get the benefit of the mindfulness training. It's actually a time saving for you.
Well, I think that's awesome. And I know from personal experience how difficult it can be. And, you know, I didn't tell people a little bit about your background, but I want to bring it up because you and I actually share something that you're not aware of as well, in that we both have degrees in mathematics.
And, very good.
And here we are talking about mindfulness and something that would seem like not an analytical type thought process, but in reality, our brain is this supercomputer that really needs some attention, doesn't it?
Exactly. And I always say to people, I don't share with a lot of people my math background because, as you probably know, people think that you're, well, anyway, there's oftentimes that people think about mathematicians, but essentially, my two passions, and actually in my undergraduate degree, I did math and labor management relations, and it was really looking at, I love solving problems, and that's really what the essence of mathematics is all about. And for me, when you look at the brain, it's like a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If we can just apply what we understand from a scientific perspective, it's not that hard to be able to map out and analyze how we can be able to enhance our performance. And so really combining that mathematical problem-solving approach to looking at the science, and the science is really amazing. I know you know a lot of it as well, but the science that they're coming out with in terms of the understanding that they have of the brain and how it works, it is really cool. And
it's really
cool now to be able to turn and leverage that science and turn it to something that can actually make us get more productive and more focused and more creative.
You know, wouldn't you agree, or would you agree that the more we learn to appreciate this beautiful thing we have called our brain, and we begin to pay attention to it and we begin to treat it a little bit better, we really don't understand and comprehend just how much more we actually can do, do we?
Exactly. And I think, and I wanted to bring out something that you talked about earlier about being distracted. And this really does get into the nature of our attention. What we know from a scientific perspective is that our brains have a natural tendency to wander. So, you know, if you find that you get distracted, that's actually, I mean, we can thank our ancestors for that, because back in the cave days, if you think about it, the guy or the gal that could sit around and focus on the fire and nothing else, well, they got eaten. They aren't our ancestors, because they didn't make it, right? You know, it was the people that were, like, were always saying, okay, there's a rustle in the bushes over there. I think there might be something happening. It was the people that had the crazy, you know, attention deficit disorder. Those are our ancestors. And this is actually really, really valuable, because from an evolutionary perspective, it is what has helped us to survive. That wandering mind that said, somebody said, you know, hey, I think I could create this tool into a hammer, or I think I could plant these seeds, it might grow sometime in the future. All of these things are based on people that were distracted and not present with what they were doing. But those that's an evolutionary benefit actually now comes at a cost to us, because what they say is that on average, our minds are wandering half of our waking hours. And you put that into a work context, that means, you know, it's about half the time we're focused on what we're doing, half the time, who knows where we are. And in today's environment, you add on to that all of the paid reality that I talked about earlier, and you've really got a recipe for lack of performance and lack of productivity. But the good news is, again, is that we can train it, because the brain's a muscle, so we don't have to, basically be a victim of this evolutionary tendency that we have to have a wandering mind.
Well, I love your example of sitting around a fire and you're focused on the fire and you get eaten. I'm thinking about that, and I realize if you look at that in a modern day context, it's a manager and he's sitting around and all he's thinking about is that one employee that's a problem, ignoring the other 10 or 12 people on his team, and that manager is going to get eaten. They're going to get replaced. They're not going to win, because their results are going to suffer so poorly because they overlooked the obvious. The obvious is you got more people to get things done with, and you can't do that. But
exactly. But
we don't think this way. We tend to focus, at least I'm curious in your research, have you seen that we tend to focus on those things that we perceive our problems more than we see the potential for success?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, again, we can look at it from an evolutionary perspective, is what the scientists know is that we have what's called a negativity bias. And particular for managers, one of the things that managers are really good at is identifying things that are wrong. That's what made them successful. They said, oh, look, that's a problem. I can go fix that. And someone said, great, I'm going to promote you. You're now the boss. And it's actually, from an evolutionary perspective, it's very important, because if you think about it again from our ancestors, you know, if I pick up a seed and want to know whether it's good or bad, it's very, very, very important for me to know whether it's bad from an evolutionary perspective, because it could kill me. So the brain that is wired to look at things that are bad, that are dangerous, is much, much, much more powerful than to say, oh, you know, I'm going to pick up this flower because it smells nice. That's nice, but it's not critical and fundamental to our survival. So you're absolutely right. We are programmed to remember and pay closer attention and see things that are negative. And as managers, that's really challenging, because oftentimes, you know, we see the employee that isn't doing the right things, but we forget to reward and recognize and notice the employee that's doing the good things, because that's just great. We don't notice it.
Yeah, and that's the essence of being mindful, isn't it? To be aware of it.
Well, and that's it. And that's really, I think, the other way that we define mindfulness, and we like to put it, because we're consultants, so we like to put it in a 2x2 matrix, is we talked about focus, and it is essential to be able to be focused in today's world. But exactly as you said, the manager that sits there and just focuses on one thing, well, the proverbial, they're going to get eaten in today's business context. And so what we train is, it's not only important to train to be focused as opposed to being distracted, but in addition to that, we need to train ourselves to have awareness and be able to be aware of our circumstances.
Absolutely.
And the key thing with awareness is, and we actually, when we put it in the 2x2 matrix, so the vertical, and you'll see my math background again here shining through. But, you know, the vertical is really that I don't want to be distracted. I want to be more focused, so moving up on the vertical. And horizontal to the right-hand side is the awareness as opposed to being on autopilot. Because when I'm on autopilot, I'm just, you know, I'm really not paying attention. I'm just doing things based on my habits, based on what was done before. Whereas that awareness, when we train ourselves to be more aware, it really, which I think is another critical skill for managers today, that's where I can be innovative. That's where I can see things I didn't see before. That's where I have more potential to be able to say, wait a minute, I'm going to choose to do something different today. I'm going to choose to respond a little differently. And that can be really powerful even if it's the smallest things, like just choosing to walk around the office in a different direction and you see something new, or of course can be big things in terms of big business shifts that every organization needs to make today to be able to survive.
Absolutely. And it's a skill set that so very, very few actually develop or have. And it's they don't realize how important it is to be aware. I tend to think of things in silly ways. And so one of the things that I've said about myself over the years is that early in my career, I was just totally clueless. And clueless meaning I didn't really know what I didn't know. And
right.
when you begin to be aware of what you don't know, and you actually develop this idea of awareness and of what's going on around you, you can quickly solve the problem of cluelessness just by being more aware of what's happening around you and in your world.
Exactly. And it's really, and I think that's really what for me anyway, why I'm so passionate about training the mind is when you start opening yourself up. And one of the key words that we use is curiosity. I mean, are you curious about your own thoughts? Are you curious about what you can read in other people? I mean, we have an incredible ability to be able to walk into a room and read other people in the room. There's all kinds of cues, their body language, their facial expressions, mm-hmm. their tones of voice. But most of us, if we walk into the room and we're just focused on the agenda, which can be very good, we can miss all kinds of things that could be really, really, really important details in our environment. We worked specifically with a sales team, one of the things that through the training is they really found that they were able to be much more present, much more aware when they were with clients, and their sales increased.
Jacqueline, I absolutely love that discussion, and I think it's so important today. I'll give you an example of where this came into play for me. Last week, we were in a conference, in a technology conference, and we were learning some new things that were going on. And like in every conference that allows questions of speakers while they're speaking, you're going to have somebody in the room that's totally clueless about how they are perceived by everybody else. And true enough, we had one guy in the room. He sits at the front. And I'm telling you, no matter what anybody said, he had this stupid question or comment that was irrelevant to what was going on. And he literally, in 2 days, he continued to miss that other people in the room were trying to tell him, hey, dude, chill a little bit. Let other people talk.
Right.
And I watched this and I'm like, okay, here's a guy that I'm thinking about him now, and I'm thinking this guy is at the fire, it's burning, and he does not see that he's going to be the tiger's next meal tonight.
Exactly. Well, exactly. And I can give you another twist on that, because that's just somebody who's really, like you said, clueless and not paying attention. But another really interesting twist on that, and I think this is a really interesting test for a lot of people that are in leadership roles, is that, and this is again just a story of one of our clients, and I love this story. Basically, a guy who was really meticulous about how much time he spent with each of the employees. And one of the reasons why he was so meticulous is because he kept on getting negative feedback, 360 reviews. Everybody was always talking about how he's never available, he's not a good leader, you know, he's really smart and we want to work with him because he's successful and he knows what he's doing, but personally, basically, he's not a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so frustrated because he would say, but look how much time I spent, you know, and he would be, I spent 5 minutes with Steve, and Steve still says that I'm not a good leader. You know, he was so frustrated. And so he was told, and we only take people voluntarily, but he was told, you got to take this mindfulness training, this corporate-based mindfulness training. And so we worked with him, and after a series of weeks, he started getting incredible reviews from his staff. And he was still meticulously keeping track of time. And what he found is he was actually spending less time, but he was getting better reviews. And what he realized, and this is again where the awareness came through, is he realized that when he was spending time with people, he was a very smart guy, is that he was always anticipating what they were going to say. So in fact, although he was thinking he was present because he was in the room with somebody, the voice that he was listening to was not theirs. The voice that he was listening to was in his own head. And so, you know, and people can feel that. People know when you're not paying attention to them. And so that's why, you know, he would answer their questions, but he wasn't present with them.
What a great story.
So through the practice, he was able to overcome that.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm glad you said that story, because I find, I think there's a lot of husbands and wives that are listening that need to pay attention to that story.
Well, that's interesting. Like I said, I was just in Salt Lake City last week, and I was asking, it's a team I've been working with, a leadership team I've been working with quite a while, and I said, so how's it going? I always ask that question first, and one guy says, well, Jacqueline, my wife says I'm nicer to be with, and she wants to meet you, and thank you. Fine.
Oh, that's great. Beautiful. That's beautiful. That's a great example of this. Well, you guys named the book, or titled the book, 1 Second Ahead. So help us understand what that means, 1 second ahead. What were you thinking there? Because it makes me very, very curious.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's two things. It's both a story as well as a strategy. And the story is, we were working with a leader, a partner in a large financial services organization, and he was basically, like many, I think, leaders today, feeling overwhelmed. You know, his days were filled with meetings back to back to back, and his evenings were filled with trying to catch up on email. He was, you know, his inbox was overwhelming. And through the course, he came to us, he said, you know, I've got to get on top of this, because I just feel like my life is almost out of control. And he was still a very successful guy, but he just was feeling there just got to be a better way to live, because he was constantly under too much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And he took our standard program, and our programs are very customizable. We always tailor them for every organization and every individual that we work with. But he took our standard program, which is 10 sessions, 1 hour each week, and also 10 minutes of daily mindfulness training. So what I talked about earlier, actually going to the mental gym. And after 10 weeks of training, we followed up with him and say, okay, you know, so Jacob is his name, you know, what'd you get? And he said, I got 1 second. And we're like, 1 second, wow, you know, from a business, from a return on investment, that doesn't sound very good. But his explanation was really quite profound, we thought, which is why we named the book after it. He said, I got 1 second of mental space to be able to choose how I respond to things, as opposed to simply being on autopilot. So as opposed to just doing lots of things, I was choosing the right things to do. And because of that, I have found that I'm more focused, I'm more effective, I'm more calm, and I really feel like I'm 1 second ahead in my life. And so that was really the essence of why we named the book that way. But then I also said that it's also a strategy, because essentially that 1 second ahead, it, you know, of course it's the theme, it's the title of the book, so it does come out throughout the book, but it's really about moment to moment, what are you going to choose, where are you going to choose to place your attention right now? And it's not just asking that question, but it's also giving lots of, the book is very, very tactical, very practical, very tool-based. You know, for example, here's a suggestion on how you can be more effective with emails, or here's a suggestion on how you can get better sleep quality, or all different kinds of strategies and tools and techniques.
That is beautiful. I love that story. 1 second really is probably all any of us ever need. We don't realize how fast our minds really do work, do we?
Exactly. And I guess that's the other thing, is what we don't realize, and I think this is the essence of it, again, from a scientific perspective, what we don't realize until we start to develop that awareness that we talked about earlier, is so much of our behavior is actually on autopilot. Scientists say that up to almost 98% of what we do, not only how we behave, but how we think, is actually based on habit. And so if you think about it, if you want to be able to be more creative, more innovative, more resilient, more kind, more whatever, you've got a lot of ingrained patterns and habits that are difficult to overcome. And that's why it's so important. Getting that one second ahead can really help you, whatever it is that you want to do to enhance your leadership potential. It helps you in that moment say, you know what, I'm not going to push the autopilot, which is so easy for the brain to do. I'm going to choose a different response this time. Maybe I'm going to be more patient with one of my employees or whatever it is.
Awesome advice. Well, before we close our interview today, why don't you give everybody, your top two or three tips that they should really just start to think about the minute or second, to borrow a phrase, after we quit talking today?
Yeah, I would say, and it goes back to what we talked about earlier about distractions. I would say the first thing that I would strongly advise everyone to do, and by the way, one of our clients is Microsoft, so I know they may be listening, but it's turn off all of those notifications. So all of those, email notifications, turn them off. And when you're in a meeting, and most of us know this, but not all of us do this, if you can, put your phone on silent. I'm old enough to know a day and age where we didn't all carry around phones in our pockets, and we did survive. I trust you, for those of you out there who don't believe me, we did survive. But minimize the distractions in your life, and I think that's the first tip that I would say.
Great advice.
I think the second thing is, just very practically, I really do believe that practicing mindfulness, just 10 minutes a day, and if 10 minutes a day sounds too much, I know many people out there are so busy, there's always so many things to do. It could be 5 minutes a day. It could be just 1 minute a day. But 1 minute where you're just intentionally choosing where you want to place your focus, it's really shown to be incredibly powerful in terms of the benefits that it can bring for yourself, for your work, and for your life.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Those are two tremendous pieces of advice. And I'm going to take it today myself. I'm absolutely going to do that. Jacqueline, what a pleasure it's been to talk with you today. I know that you've given many of us many things to think about and helped us gain back that little time to take control over our life. We wish you tremendous success with a new book, and I want to encourage everybody to go out and get their copy 1 second ahead. I'll have a link to make it easy for you to go find it. How would you like for people to connect with you, Jacqueline, for those that would like to learn more?
Sure, absolutely. You can go to our website, which is www.potentialproject.com, or you can connect with me directly. I'm always happy to connect with people. And my email address is jacqueline.carter@potentialproject.com.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for being a part of our show today. I have really had a great time. I hope you've had fun too.
I have indeed, Steve. Thank you so much for your time today, and thank you so much for this show. It's a great opportunity, I think, for people to get to share ideas and learn new tips and tools and techniques. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
The Manager Mojo podcast is brought to you by the graduates of the Mojo Leadership System, a proven method of refining and accelerating your management and leadership skills. Go to mojoleadershipsystem.com to learn more. In order to receive a special $250 discount on this training, enter the word podcast in the shopping cart. That's mojoleadershipsystem.com and enter podcast as our thank you for listening to the Manager Mojo podcast.